This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
History in 5 songs. With host Martin Popoff. A production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
Hello, once again. Welcome back to another episode of History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good people at Pantheon Podcasts. We are pleased, as always, to be part of this vast and always expanding Pantheon Podcast Network of wise music swamis, available on Apple Music and Spotify and iTunes and all that fun stuff. Okay, so this episode's going to be airing on Halloween 2023, October 31st. So we're going to end on a little bit of a creepy note. But this is episode 227. I'm calling this Inspired by New York City. It's the fall, and I think, you know, hey, wouldn't it be nice to make another trip down to New York City? Maybe try that new train from Toronto to New York this time. Hang out with Monty Connor and John Frank. Sip some gin and tonics. Go to the Morgan, the Whitney, the Met, the MoMA, all that kind of cool stuff. But yeah, so this is an episode I've considered a few times, and you know, I thought I'd look at this kind of an interesting way. Again, we've got our categories here. There's lots of conceptual ways to look at this. There's rafts and rafts. There are thousands of songs about New York City, literally down to, you know, streets and areas of the city, of course, and just general and more general songs. There's lots and lots of you know, hip hop artists that write about the city or Brooklyn, you know, or Queens or whatever. And there's a lot of jazz about New York City as well. But, you know, just to kick off here, we're not going to play this song, but it's not called New York, New York. It's kind of technically called Theme from New York, New York. This is officially New York City's national anthem. It's a 1980 song, though. It was written for Liza Minnelli to sing in 1977's New York, New York. So that's kind of interesting. It's not really that old a song. And in a funny way, I mean, none of what we're going to talk about here, because we want to keep it in our realm, and I wanted to kind of make it, these are my favorite concepts about this whole New York City thing. But Empire State of Mind, Jay-Z, Alicia Keys, 2009, that's really become almost like a second anthem of New York City. Maybe you guys can tell me on the Facebook page what are some of the other key anthems of New York City. But that's not really what this is about. This is about my favorite sort of songs or albums or even artists in a way that you're going to find out inspired by New York City. So let's kick off with our first selection here. This is Lou Reed with Dirty Boulevard.
This room costs $2,000 a month. You can believe it, man, it's true. Somewhere a landlord's laughing until he wets his pants. No one dreams of being a doctor or a lawyer or anything. They dream of dealing on the dirty boulevard. Give me your hungry, your tired, your poor, I'll piss on them. That's what the statue of bigotry says. Your poor huddled masses, let's club them to death.
All right, so this is from the New York album, January 10th, 1989. This is Pedro Lives Out of the Wilshire Hotel. The Wilshire Hotel was at 134 West 58th. You know, he's looking out, dreaming. His father beats him because he's too tired to beg. It's a really dark story, but as we move on in the story, we'll get to sort of the album in a second, but as we get on to the story of this song's more the microcosm, the anchor of the album. This was actually a fairly big hit. This is considered one of Lou Reed's best albums. It was quite a hit album, and it is fairly conceptual. But, you know, you've got this room costs $2,000 a month. You can believe it, man, it's true. Somewhere there's a landlord laughing till he wets his pants. No one dreams of being a doctor, a lawyer, or anything. They dream of dealing on the dirty boulevard. We've got later on, give me you're hungry, you're tired, you're poor. That's what the Statue of Bigotry says. We've got there's an opera at Lincoln Center. The traffic's backed up to 39th Street. So this is definitely a New York song by one of the great New York artists. I mean, you go through the entire catalog. There's lots of stuff, even Perfect Day, but Halloween Parade on here. You know, that's the West Village's the queer friendly, you know, the big costume thing. But you've got I'm Waiting for the Man, you know, Lexington Avenue, 125th. So you've got Dealing, you've got Hustling What's Its Name, Walk on the Wild Side, right? But yeah, Harlem, you've got the Velvet Underground. So this whole New York thing goes back to Loaded, 1970, Transformer, 72. So there's lots and lots of Lou Reed. You know, he's one of these kind of artists that likes to mention place names and specific stories. You get lots going on. So, you know, here is an artist who is actually, well, he's kind of not exactly a downtown artist, but he's a downtown artist. He's not from downtown, but he becomes, you know, an icon of downtown. And this whole New York album, you know, is amazing for this. You've got Romeo and Juliet on here as well, Halloween Parade, which I mentioned. But the interesting thing about this album is it's a little deeper than just being about New York. It's almost about looking at news events and pop culture and politics and everything through the lens of being someone in New York, you know, almost watching it from inside this city, looking out sort of thing. So that's our first selection here. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back. All right, back again here on History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, episode 227, inspired by New York City. Let's take a listen to our second selection here, and we shall discuss. This is the Rolling Stones with Shattered.
I can't give it away on 7th Avenue. This town's wearing tatters.
All right, so this is an amazing, amazing song about New York City, and this whole album, Some Girls, is this great New York album, as is Emotional Rescue. Now, the interesting thing is that the Stones would record all over the place, London, Paris. So these aren't particularly New York albums in that you're you know, if you're thinking of them accurately, they're not made in New York, but you think of all those photo shoots with the guys out to, you know, to see the latest punk or new wave bands or being part of the disco scene, you know, dressed to the nines, all that sort of thing. So the Rolling Stones really feel like a New York band around this period. This is one of my favorite Rolling Stones albums. But you've got this all this chitter chatter about schmata, schmata, schmata. I can't give it away on 7th Avenue. You know, that's a reference to the garment trade, the garment district. And I, you know, that immediately reminds me of sitting down with Sylvain Sylvain, another great New Yorker. And he was talking about reminiscing about, you know, his family coming from that industry. To live in this town, you must be tough, tough, tough. Don't you know the crime rate's going up? Most of what we're going to talk about here is, or most of what's going on in these artists' minds where they want to write about this is, you know, the sort of typical New York being in real dire straits, but being really artistic town because that's when the artists kind of take over towns when they're in decay. So this is the 70s and the 80s. There's kind of a similarity thing there, and things start going up. And the you know, it's pretty wild and prescient to hear Lou Reed talk about this room cost $2,000 a month in 1989, right? I think he's probably... Yeah, that might even be a bit of an exaggeration where he's trying to exaggerate that things are going that way. Things go that way in the 90s. You know, it really starts, and then, of course, it picks up and picks up. And we get the New York of today, right? where it isn't all decayed all over the place. But yeah, everything's been gentrified and everything's super expensive, right? But yeah, this Stone song shattered. We've got rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown. What a mess. This town's in tattered. I've been shattered. So this idea of being shattered is the idea of being frazzled in the city that never sleeps sort of thing, right? So I think it's captured really well. It's a beautiful little kind of like punky, weird punk crossed with the Stone sort of song. But yeah, I'm feeling this New York vibe, even on Emotional Rescue and even on Tattoo You and even into Undercover. You know, Undercover is kind of like a violence album. It's very urban sounding, so you're getting this mix of ska and new wave in there, and it's a hard hitting sort of album. You know, the lyrics are not that obliquely about New York across any of this stuff. You know, although Shattered definitely. You know, but even back to Honky Tonk Woman and Hot Stuff. So there's earlier stuff where you're feeling that New York vibe as well, or you're getting those references. Harlem Shuffle, even though they didn't write it, this becomes another big Rolling Stones New York song, right? Because it's a big hit, right? But that's kind of cool. But yeah, so Stones, I wanted to relate this a little bit to The Clash, because I feel that The Clash has this interesting connection to New York as well. They go there and they instantly start soaking up the hip hop and dub culture and getting into the technology and things. And we just did a recent episode of Sea of Tranquility, and I mentioned how you really start seeing this happen. You already start getting Americana references or American references or American pop culture references kind of on London Calling and parts of Sandinista, but the end of Sandinista, the last record, sides 5 and 6, you start really seeing that New York vibe. It starts almost with a... this transformation from the UK Rasta and dub vibe, but then you're into the New York urban hip hop scene sort of vibe. And Clash are in early on this thing, and then you really see it all across Combat Rock and even on Cut the Crap. And then even, you know, the interesting thing is that Cut the Crap lines up with Mick Jones going off to do Big Audio Dynamite, where you also get this huge exploration. They're almost like crate diggers, New York crate diggers at this point, with all the sounds and interesting things they're coming up with. So yeah, you put Combat Rock, Cut the Crap, and all of those Big Audio Dynamites together, and you're getting this big influence on New York. I mean, Clash, Coca-Cola, Lightning Strikes, not once but twice. So yeah, all over the place. I think this is kind of a cool parallel to draw between the Rolling Stones and the Clash, although the Rolling Stones do it first, kind of thing. Let's take a listen to our third selection here. This is The Dictators with Avenue A. Yeah, it's all over when you see a Range Rover. And tomorrow's data, I say, I'm the loser. It's not what you do, it's what you say. And it's not who you know, it's who you pay. All right. Absolute New York legends, The Dictators. You really feel a New York vibe on not so much the first album, but definitely on Manifest Destiny and on Blood Brothers, especially. You know, Blood Brothers, you've got that, I'm looking at it right now, that album cover. Man, my signatures are so worn out on this. From light, right? Light exposure. But you know, they're standing in that, you know, basically basketball court sort of vibe with the brand, you know, the tenement kind of thing behind them, brick, you know, public housing kind of look. And yeah, they're such classic New Yorkers. They're in their leather jackets. You know, got Faster and Louder on here with, remember our last episode was the Bruce Springsteen one. Bruce Springsteen is a guest on that, right? So yeah, there's your New York connection as well. But this album is so much that way. But Avenue A actually comes from a later album, DFFD, and right on the album cover, it's the Dictators. They got the Yankees logo there on the skull. They've got New York, New York, right in the title almost. It goes New York, DFFD, New York. And then, of course, you've got Manitoba's Wild Kingdom and You, which is essentially a Dictators album, and that's got an anthem called New York, New York, and you can almost hear that song playing in your head. So yeah, that's a great one, but this Down on Avenue A is just so rife with New York references and what's happened to the place sort of thing, even though it is a later album, but it is totally cool. Kind of neat, Tom Cochran and Red Ryder, believe it or not, have a song called Avenue A, and it's a light poppy kind of acoustic thing, but I believe it even says Down on Avenue A. Iggy Pop has an Avenue B. You know, I wanted to relate this a little bit to these actual New York bands. So you've got New York Dolls with Subway Train and Jet Boy. You know, Subway Train is totally about New York City. You know, the subways is an iconic thing about New York. But you think of their look and what I just said about Sylvain and the whole fashion glam thing and the cross-dressing idea, the fact that New York is right in the name of the band. But yeah, Jet Boy. This is definitely a downtown New York band. They did most of their playing downtown. Most of their, you know, big stands are in those big New York venues. What are our venues? We've got Max's Kansas City and CBGB, of course. This one fits, when I think of Subway Train, I think of Blue Oyster Cult with Hot Rails to Hell. So that's about, going into the city. BOC was like a Long Island band, but, you know, going into the city to see a gig and then coming out of the city. And then, you got Blue Oyster Cult is just basically this urban sort of New York City band. We could have included a lot of stuff here. I would say their most New York sounding album or seeming album is Agents of Fortune. And then you've got that whole strange crossover. Some of it's touched upon in my Bluish cult book, Agents of Fortune, and then it's expanded upon more, the more conspiracy theory dark part about it, about the connection with Son of Sam, that you get. It's almost like the first album's considered a prediction of Son of Sam, and then Spectres is all about, you know, people prowling the night sort of thing. You got This Ain't the Summer of Love, which has this vibe, even though it's a cover, it has this vibe of describing New York City kind of thing, right? And then I wanted to mention also here, of course, you can't forget the Ramones with things like 53rd and 3rd or Rockaway Beach or whatever. 53rd and 3rd is basically about Dee Dee hustling the same way that Walk on the Wild Side is. But lots and lots of New York references throughout the Ramones catalog, and they're obviously the quintessential CBGB band. And then, of course, you've got to mention people like Patti Smith here with Horses. The sort of the New York poetry and folk scene is referenced in that. Blondie Parallel Lines, it's more about the New York dance and disco scene, I would suppose. Talking Heads, you've got to kind of wrap into this whole thing as well. This Ain't No CBGB, all that kind of thing. Iggy Pop, Lust for Life, Iggy Pop. So what happens with these artists is sometimes they spend a lot of time in New York, or they're photographed around New York, or they're recording in New York. Like, the Berlin period of Iggy Pop, there's a New York vibe, and Lust for Life is said to have that sort of vibe. So speaking about this this cross-sectionality of visiting or hanging around New York, let's take a listen to our next selection. This is King Crimson with Neurotica.
The morning, it's 3 a.m. in this great roaring city full of garbage eaters ravaging parking spots beneath my plaza window. I see cheetah in their tight skins and tired heels. All night hip on the diner crossing the street. Swarthy herds of young Impala, flambastic given, even a struggling Monza. And over there, that brilliant head ornament on that Japanese macaque. But look closely at the hammerhead hand in hand with the mandrel. It's a sight you're unlikely to see anywhere else on the planet.
All right, so we are at the Great Beat album, my favorite King Crimson album, 1981. This album's more about the Beat Generation, but the whole idea here is that, okay, so you've got, it's kind of like Black Sabbath. You got two New Yorkers, or not New Yorkers, but you got two Americans in this British band, right? So here we've got Tony Levin and Adrian Belew, and Tony Levin is a New Yorker. You know, he's known for being part of John Lennon sessions and all that kind of thing. He's kind of an, and then later on, there's the whole setup in upstate New York, where they do a lot of recording and things. But the whole idea here is that Robert Fripp moves to New York at Hell's Kitchen. He becomes part of this scene, the punk rock scene, the Roches, the Roche sisters, right? Daryl Hall, you know, a sort of a Philadelphia connection, Philadelphia soul connection. But Robert Fripp is, you know, he's this quintessential English guy, but now all of a sudden he's part of this New York scene, and there is the iconic Exposure album, great, great solo album. Peter Gabriel has, so now there's a little bit of Peter Gabriel cross-sectionality with New York City. There's David Bowie, Scary Monsters is a very New York-y sort of album, and it's recorded mostly in New York, 1980 album. Again, Talking Heads, you've got Robert Fripp and you've got Adrian Belew, you know, a bit of cross-pollination with the Talking Heads. But yeah, so you've got a David Bowie New York scene, and then of course David Bowie eventually lives there. But you've got the Robert Fripp. So what you have from King Crimson anchoring this whole thing is you've got the red, blue, and yellow period of King Crimson with Discipline, Beat, and Three of a Perfect Pair that all feel very New York-y. You've got Adrian Belew is a big presence on these records, and Adrian Belew puts out two amazing solo albums. So you've got this American presence, but yeah, there's a whole, you know, I've often thought of doing an entire sort of episode about this, but yeah, and we can't forget again the Peter Gabriel part of this. So Neurotica is a song about you know, just the buzz of the city, and then relating it to you know, animals in the jungle sort of thing, which is kind of cool. And then you've got Thela Hunginjeet, which is that story of. Anyway, unbuttoned my shirt and said, look, I'm in this band, you know, and we're making a recording, you know, it's about New York City, it's about crime in the streets. The explanation was going nowhere, but finally they just let me go. I don't know why. So I walk around the corner and I'm shaking like a leaf, and I thought, this is a dangerous place. Who should appear but two policemen, right? So this is that spoken word / instrumental cool song about recording street sounds in New York City and that connection to New York City. All right, I promised this was going to get dark because it is a Halloween 2023 episode. Take a listen to our last selection here. This is the Dead Boys with Son of Sam. Okay, I remember when this album came out. I remember that whole Son of Sam time. It was big news across everywhere. Serial killers stalking the streets of New York City. But yeah, so the Dead Boys actually go on their second and last album. You know, We Have Come For Your Children, where my record actually says Down to Kill on it, right? But basically, they do a whole song about the Son of Sam situation. Elliot Smith does one, I think, later too, right? But just the Dead Boys in general are kind of an interesting New York story, because this is a Cleveland band. Remember the whole Rocket from the Tombs thing. But they moved to New York City, and they're known to be part of the CBGB scene. And, of course, we know the whole... it's Johnny Blitz, right? The Stabbed and Almost Gets Killed thing, and there's a benefit for him and all that. But yeah, you think of these two albums, Young, Loud, and Snotty, and We Have Come For Your Children, and they just feel really New York City. You've got Big City as well on this second one, which is just like a pay-in to the city sort of thing. But yeah, and in this department as well, I wanted to mention the Sex Pistols have a song called New York. Now, the Sex Pistols, you're never going to feel, are much of a New York band. They only have the one album. It's so associated with London anyways, right? But a funny one that I hear from time to time, because I actually play this band a lot walking around or jogging or whatever, the UK Subs with New York State Police. It's just that rings in your head because the chorus goes like that. But it's about them running afoul of the New York cops and you know, Charlie Harper and pals being warned, keep your mouth shut or we'll break your nose. They've also got Dirty Girls and Big Apple. And then another one, Slaughter and the Dogs. But this was when they were just called Slaughter, and they made that pretty heavy and well-recorded album just as Slaughter. But there's a song in there, Hell in New York. There's hell in New York. I even remember that one for some reason. So yeah, there's a little added punk to go with your Ramones punk and then your punk adjacent or proto punk in your you know, your New York Dolls and whatnot, and your Dictators, which are sort of adjacent punk. But so yeah, those are some bands that are UK bands, right? Pistols, UK Subs. You know, all of these guys. You know. I guess these punk bands, when they go to America for the first time, they're usually touching down and playing New York City first. So you get these New York songs out of these people. So anyways, there's your five. I've got some honorable mentions here as well. One that I almost included was New York Groove, Ace Frehley. So this is written by Russ Ballard, but Hello actually put it out and had a minor hit with it. But Ace had a minor hit with it. So this is from the 78 solo album. But you think we're back in the New York groove. So it's actually an anthemic song about New York City and kind of a hopeful sort of song. And Peter Criss has Blue Moon Over Brooklyn as well, right? And one I almost picked as well is Big Apple Dreamin', parentheses Hippo, Alice Cooper. Alice Cooper, you know, they're a West Coast band. They're an LA band and a Detroit band, but for part of a... Part of their career, they were a Greenwich, Connecticut band, so they had the big mansion that they had as a band house in Connecticut. But then, as Alice is pulling away and stuff, he also is visiting and living in New York City a lot and doing a lot of media stuff in New York City, and he's part of the dance scene and all that. So Alice does have his New York ties, but on Muscle of Love, they do this song "Big Apple Dreamin'." New York is waiting for you and me, baby, waiting to swallow us down kind of thing. So there's a sexual double entendre to it as well. As this song, it's a little bit about Hippopotamus Club, and it's kind of like a lurid sort of vocal. But that New York is waiting for you and me, baby, actually has that anthemic New York, you know, if I can make it here, I can make it anywhere sort of vibe on this. It wasn't the biggest song in the album. You know, that's more like Teenage Lament and the title track. But it was definitely a New York song. And, you know, even the production values of Alice Cooper later on with the horn arrangements in that and the Broadway sort of feel, there was kind of a New York vibe to Alice. So there's a little bit going on there. Tom Waits, Downtown Train, Union Square, he will mention a lot of New York places. You've got your whole 9/11 contingent, but that's led by The Rising, Bruce Springsteen, 2002. The Night the Lights Went Out by The Tramps. There's a few songs about the New York blackout, which is kind of cool. So that's one. Is the Disco Inferno band, but yeah, the night the lights went out. New York Serenade, Bruce Springsteen, E Street Band, Daddy Don't Live in That New York City No More, Steely Dan, Englishman in New York, Sting, not really a New York City sort of song, but Fairy Tale of New York is kind of an interesting one. The Pogues and Christy McCall, because I've seen this described as New York's greatest holiday song. It's got that mention of the boys of the NYPD choir will sing Galway Bay, and the bells were ringing out for Christmas Day. So this is basically a Christmas song that's actually a big Christmas song, but this Pogues band, from across the sea, is essentially really capturing the spirit of the Irish contingent in New York City. So that's kind of cool. You've got The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway, Genesis, and then back in NYC, Genesis. But Lamb Lies Down on Broadway, they even do a little quote of the riff from On Broadway. So On Broadway is obviously a big New York anthem as well. I've always loved Ian Hunter, Central Park and West. So yeah, I looked at hundreds of New York City songs, and I just kind of distilled this down to the ones I wanted to mention that are part of our world kind of thing. Mott the Hoople, Saturday Gigs, Rush the Camera Eye, kind of cool, right? About catching the hustle and bustle of the city. BTO, Give Me Your Money, Please. That's a funny thing. So a lot of these New York City songs, a lot of them are about thinking this girl likes you, but she turns out to be a hooker, and a lot of them about getting mugged. Kind of cool, right? So there's the Arch songs about going to the city, and these are the two experiences that happened to you as a young naive rock band, right, from away. Triumph, New York City Streets, Hanoi Rocks, New York City, great one, Nazareth, New York, Broken Toy, Judas Priest, Raw Deal, more about Fire Island, but it really feels like a downtown New York City club that Rob's talking about there, gay club kind of thing. Scorpions, The Zoo, We know that's a famous one about going to New York City, you know, about feeling like you're country bumpkins, you know, even though the Scorpions aren't exactly that, but everybody feels like a country bumpkin when they go to New York City for the first time, like eyes as wide as saucers sort of thing, right? So that's a great classic hard rock song about that. AC/DC's Weird, I Feel Safe in New York City. Aerosmith, Rats in the Cellar, New York City Blues, right? And Train Kept a Rollin' even mentions she was from New York City, right? Even though they didn't write it, but yeah, it's pretty easy, you know. Aerosmith's from Boston, which is essentially a little baby New York City, right? So yeah, it's easy to write these city songs. Joe Walsh in the City, Jonathan Richmond, Springtime in New York, Joni Mitchell, Chelsea Morning. Yeah, again, we can go through all the Washington Square and Chelsea and whatever. The Village, all and like literally, there's all these songs that are like basically street addresses. Let's see, Mott the Hoople, Whiz Kid, plus Alice, James Brown, Down and Out of New York City, Run DMC, Christmas in Hollis, famous one, you know, Golden Earring, 42nd Street, Angelic Upstarts, 42nd Street, Gun Hill Road, 42nd Street, pretty funny, 42nd Street, Psycho Blues, Janis Ian. So yeah, there's lots and lots of these, out there, you know, if I was to really sum up that I, you know, on a very abstract level, I love that whole idea of Robert Fripp exposure and Peter Gabriel and David Bowie's Scary Monsters, especially as really giving you that fond sort of feel of the art scene, music scene, multimedia, graffiti scene of New York City. But I would say the Lou Reed New York album is almost absolutely perfect. It just reads, like they say, like the critics say, it just reads like one continuous story of New York City. I think that is probably the crowning achievement in terms of an album that would be all about New York City and captures the vibe perfectly in a weird year, right? 1989. Because all of this, you know, all of this sort of romance of the decay of New York City, I would say, starts in about 1973. And you would think 1989 is almost too late for it. And there are a lot of references, you know, on that album about how the city is changing and greed, right? You know, as we read in those lyrics there as well. All right, so if you like the show and want to support future episodes, please go to ko-fi.com/martinpopoff. Hit that red support button. Buy me a coffee or a pint. So yeah, the show is you know, in the main, I would say, more so supported by Ko-fi than any sort of pay that I'm getting for this situation. So I do appreciate you guys keeping up with those Ko-fis. I do mention it every couple of weeks, not every week. But this week I would like to thank Joe Becht, Andy at Black Sugar Transmission, Monty Olson, Augustin Garcia de Paredes, Steve Polari, Dan Rosenson, and Robert Yates. You can go to martinpopoff.com for the books I do. Of course, we've got our Contrarians video channel. You know, I'm on Pete's show every Friday morning as well. That airs live usually at 11. But yeah, martinpopoff.com. I've got the Who book, I've got the Bowie book, basically anything you see there scrolling down, I have in print. The Kiss book will be in soon. I'll start filling your orders for the Kiss book. There's another band, right, that really, not a lot, but time and time again, you do get little stories like Cold Gin or whatever. You do get things that make you think of Kiss as a New York City band, which is kind of cool. You've got the cover of, Dressed to Kill, right? So that's kind of cool as well. So there you go. You know what? For homework, go listen to some Lou Reed New York and go play that Dirty Boulevard song in full. What a scathing, interesting lyric that is. Talk to you later. And maybe I will get that fall trip into New York City. We'll see.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at the RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at R&R Archaeology.